Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that the faith that he brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. And some are in the habit of doing by encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For the word of God, for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Crystal. So one of the most common critiques that people make about the church is that the Bible isn't irrelevant in today's world, and neither is the church. Which, when you think about it, it's not so hard to believe that people say that, because you ever read the books of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and think, does this even apply to us today? Yes. For instance, we don't sacrifice animals to atone for our sins. At least I hope we're not doing that, right? Jesus fulfilled that requirement. We also don't observe the ceremonial washings prescribed in the law. We do not keep ourselves at arm's length from people for fear that we might become unclean. Most of us don't follow the dietary laws, wheat, pork, right? I mean, do we really want to imagine a world where there is no bacon? Most of our clothes are made with mixed fabrics. And so, yes, to understand the Bible, we do have to take into account the context in which these books were written. But people have taken that as far as to say, well, this book wasn't written for us. It's an ancient relic written for a different time and a different place and a different people. And the church has existed for 2,000 years. Isn't it also just an ancient relic? Again, something for another time, place, or people. And we might not think that, right? But our actions say otherwise. With the advent of blue laws disappearing, people are far less committed to church and more committed to a myriad of other priorities. And the world is an ever-changing place. We are in a constant process of scientific discovery, technological development, and social construct. Values change, philosophies are redefined, new worldviews emerge. And when we try to encourage others not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we are sometimes met with resistance, suggesting that because we don't exalt their ideas or values, and that because we live in the past with our ancient teachings, that we are not relevant in today's society. But friends, nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible and the church are not only relevant, but they are essential to life in today's world. In fact, when the world feels like it's falling apart, as we have most certainly felt that this week, that's when the truth and the mission of the church shine the brightest. So I want to give you a few points to ponder here that will hopefully help you in your conversations with others who have doubts and hesitancies about why the church still matters today. The first point I want to make is that the Bible speaks to every generation, and I could turn to a number of passages to affirm that, but I'm going to go with Hebrews 4:12, which says, "For the word of God is alive and active." Notice it doesn't say that the word of God was alive. It is alive and active. Think about it. The same human struggles we face today, fear, anxiety, broken families, injustice, violence even, Like, I noticed a lot of people on social media this week saying things like, evil is alive in our country, as if it wasn't before. If people would read their Bible, they would realize this has been a problem since the first two people. In the days of Abraham, Moses, David, and Paul, there were mass murders, there was violence, there was war, there was corrupt leaders, and there were messengers of God who were silenced. Not to mention a whole slew of crimes that we unfortunately still witness to this day, every day. And it's not that we become desensitized to all of that, but that we realize the Bible shows us there is a problem with the human condition. And that problem is we want to be in charge. We want to be our own God. We might not think it, but our actions say otherwise. The things we give our time, our money, and our resources to are often the things that we worship, the things that we deem essential for happiness and success. And most of that is spent trying to build up our own lives, our own ideas, rather than building up the kingdom of God. Every day, we make decisions that say, I want to do this for myself. I want to do this for me. I want to make life about me. Even if it means God gets pushed to the back burner, and he does. And that is the core issue of humanity. And the problem with that is if left to ourselves, we are not very good decision makers. We make mistakes, we make errors, we hurt people. Some of us make decisions that affect other people's lives negatively, destructively. The Bible shows us this is the problem of humanity and we cannot fix it. There's only one who can, which is who the Bible is written about. And the Bible points us to that person as our one true hope for reconciliation, restoration, redemption. When people say the Bible doesn't speak to me or my circumstance, it's not because the Bible has changed or has suddenly become obsolete. It's because we haven't opened it with listening hearts. Scripture speaks to the human condition more than any TikTok or podcast. Social media tells you that your worth is based on how many likes you get, how many followers you have. The Bible tells you your worth is rooted in being made in the image of God. Culture says, do whatever makes you happy. Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Word tells us that when we are broken, we are damaged goods. But the Gospel tells us that in Christ, brokenness is the place where resurrection can begin. And unlike another common misconception that the Bible is about what we need to do for God so that he will be okay with us, which we'll talk about that more next week, the Bible is actually about what God has done for you and will do for you if you will just trust him with your life. The second point I want to make is that the church is God's answer to today's problems. Let me ask you a question. For all the advances we have made throughout history, is the world today what we hoped for? Have 2,000 years of investment in science and innovation and philosophy reaped the rewards we expected? Yes, we have better health care. Yes, we have greater communications. Yes, we have faster transport and technologies that shave time off of our day and give us access to an abundance of information. But what about the moral condition of the world? As a result of these advances, is the world more peaceful than it used to be? Are we more unified in our understanding of what is the truth? And we know the answer is no. Despite all the progress we've made in other arenas of life, morality is still far below the bar. We may have eradicated diseases of the body, but murder, war, infidelity, and oppression have not been erased over time. We lock our cars when they're not in use. We put cameras on our homes, on our churches. We have active shooter training at school. We keep online accounts secured with passwords that we have to change every 6 months because people will stop at nothing. We tell our children not to talk to strangers. Why? Because we have little confidence in the morality of society. And this is the sad reality. Throughout history, what has been the cause of the world's ills? And many try to blame it on things like religion, politics, law, the justice system. But friends, these are not the deepest roots. The deepest root of the problem is the human heart. The problem isn't just back there in history or out there in society. It is in here. And that should be blatantly obvious right now, because you get on Facebook right now and people are just hurling these radical insults at each other, these generalizations, lots of generalizations, demonizing generalizations. It's sickening and sad. That is a heart condition. And despite our best efforts, we have not found a shortcut to happiness, success, peace, joy, contentment. We always come up short. Meanwhile, these sit on our shelves and collect dust. And we have more seats in the church empty. And we wonder, why is there so much brokenness in the world? The remedy is that we need to spend less time in this and more time in that. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means the church is not an outdated institution. It is God's living, breathing movement in the world. Why is the church relevant today? Well, one, loneliness is epidemic. Studies show people are more isolated than ever. And the church offers real community where people know your name, they love you, and they walk with you. Two, division is everywhere. Politics, culture, and identity divide us. The church proclaims a kingdom that breaks down walls and unites people in Christ. Three, hopelessness is rising. Suicide, addiction, and despair, they're all at record levels. The church announces the good news. There is hope in Christ Jesus. In the early church, people were mocked for being different, but what made them stand out was the fact that they cared for widows and orphans. They cared for the poor and the sick, even those who persecuted them. That's why the church grew. And the same mission makes the church desperately relevant now, which leads me to my next point. Relevance isn't about keeping up. It is about standing out. Some think the church has to copy the culture to stay relevant, but the church isn't called to mirror the culture. It is called to transform it. Again, I point us to Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the world says your mistakes define you, the church says there is grace that comes after our mistakes. When the world says power comes from dominating others, the church says power is made perfect in weakness. When the world says death is the end of life, the church says nope, because Christ is risen. That's not outdated, that's revolutionary. The church exists for a number of relevant reasons. One, first and foremost, to worship and glorify God. The church gathers believers to offer praise and thanksgiving, as Crystal just read in Hebrews 10:25, which encourages believers not to forsake assembling together. Worship is both individual and communal, reflecting the church's devotion to God and its acknowledgement of his sovereignty. Second reason it exists is the proclamation of the gospel. The Great Commission, as recorded in Matthew 28, commands the church to go and make disciples of all nations. So the church is tasked with teaching biblical truths and baptizing believers, ensuring that the gospel reaches the ends of the earth. Three, for discipleship and spiritual growth. Through teaching, fellowship, and accountability, the church helps believers mature in faith and develop a deeper relationship with God. Fourth reason, community and fellowship. Acts 2:42 describes the early church as devoted to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And the church today continues in that way, providing a sense of community and belonging, offering support and encouragement to its members. And this fellowship fosters unity and love, reflecting the relational nature of the Christian faith. Number five, service and compassion. The church is called to serve others, following the example of Christ who came not to be served, but to serve. The church engages in acts of compassion, such as feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, and supporting the marginalized, embodying Christ's love in action. Number six, moral and ethical guidance. In a world marked by moral ambiguity, the church stands as a moral compass, advocating for justice, righteousness, and truth. The church can address contemporary issues through the lens of Scripture, offering both clarity and conviction. Number seven, prayer and intercession. Prayer is a vital aspect of the church's role as it intercedes for individuals, for communities, and for nations. The church engages in both corporate and individual prayer, seeking God's will and intervention in the world. And number eight, cultural engagement. Just as Jesus crossed cultural lines, so should we. He modeled that for the church, influencing it with the values of the kingdom rather than living isolated from it. Right? He said we are to live in the world, but not of it. And the church seeks to bring about positive change with those they interact with. So how do we best communicate in the world that the church and the Bible still matter? Well, first and foremost, you cannot know the will of God if you are not in it. So you have to do that first. You have to get into the Word, and then you live it. You don't just read it. You live it. You show patience in a rushed world. You show grace in a cancel culture. You show generosity in a greedy society. You love radically. When the church is known for what it's for rather than what it's against, the world will take notice. And lift up hope. Wherever you go, be a voice of hope and remind everyone there is more to life than the latest headline, the latest tragedy, or the latest fad. The number one best-selling book in the world is what? The Bible. The number one most stolen book in the world is also the Bible, which is ironic because the Bible prohibits stealing. But possible reasons for that, not that I'm trying to justify stealing here, but it might be the high value. That should tell us something, right? That people are so desperate to get it that they will steal it. Or they believe that everyone should have access to the Bible, even if they can't afford it, which I do believe that. So hear me, while I do not condone stealing, you are free to take a Bible with you, and you do not have to pay for it. You do not need our consent. You are always free to take a Bible from this church. You are always free to take a Bible for a friend. I don't care if we have to buy a case every week. We will find a way. The world will always change. Cultures will shift. Technology will advance. Opinions will rise and fall. But the Word of God endures forever. The church is not irrelevant. It is God's chosen instrument to bring light into darkness, love into hate, and hope into despair. And as long as people are broken and searching and hurting, the message of Jesus Christ and the mission of his church will always matter. So let's bust that myth once and for all. The Bible and the church are not relics of the past. They were not just for a certain time, a certain place, a certain people. They are God's gift to the present, and they are our only hope for the future. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. We thank you that your church is not a museum, but a movement, your body at work in the world today. Help us live in such a way that others see you are still relevant, still powerful, and still good. Make our lives testimonies that point to the timeless truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you join me in praying as the Lord taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand and affirm our faith now with the Apostles' Creed.